Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, welcoming tonight Jay Hernandez from the new movie Hostel, which killed this weekend, right?
Killed. And number one.
First thing people say to me is, did you know they had 250 gallons of blood to make that film? Is that true?
Yeah, I think those are the correct numbers, man. There was, like, tons of blood, tons of, like, fake bodies, corpses everywhere.
And the other thing that was falls on the heels of that is, like, ask Jay about the bad dreams he was having when he was making the movie. Is that right?
I did have some really freaky dreams. Not necessarily nightmares, but just kind of random stuff that I guess tied into, you know, what I was dealing with at the time.
And what happens in the film?
It's about these American kids, these Josh and Paxton. We get out of college, and we want to go to backpack through Europe, you know. So we hear about this. We go to Amsterdam.
Oh, where, of course. You know,
getting high,
see strippers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, get prostitutes, and we do all that. And we meet this guy that talks about this hotel, this hostel in Slovakia. And he says, like, the most beautiful women are there. You know, you got to go there. It's the most amazing time. They love Americans. All this, you know, he's selling us, basically. So we end up in Slovakia, you know.
Do you actually film it there?
Yeah, no, in Czech Republic we shot.
Same, yeah.
Essentially, yeah, it's the same thing. So we were out there, and then one of the guys that we met along the way, this Icelandic dude named Athor, he ends up disappearing. And we think he's just with a girl, but it turns out that he got kidnapped and caught up in this organized crime ring that they sell people to be murdered, basically. You can pay a certain price. I mean, like, there's, like, Americans, you can get Russians, Europeans, and they all have a different dollar amount to them, and the Americans are the most expensive.
They're hunting the ultimate prey, man,
yes,
or something? Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So it just gets really dark, you know, after our buddy disappears, and from that point on, it's all sort of
antics. Well, it's doing really well, and you're also coming out soon in Oliver Stone's new film, World Trade Center.
Yes.
And it's obvious what that's going to be about.
That's going to be about the World Trade Center.
And what do you think?
I think it's going to be great. You know, Oliver Stone is he's an amazing director. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to be working with him.
Oh, sure. He wrapped it all up? It's done?
No, we got a couple more days. I'm pretty much done with all the stuff I got to do. But, you know, Nicolas Cage, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Maria Bello, Michael Pena, all part
of
the cast.
Where were they filming
it? We shot in New York for about a month, and then we came to Los Angeles. We're doing stuff on a stage now. Yeah.
Can't wait for that one. Do you have any idea when that's coming out?
I believe in August.
And then, for those of you who don't know where Montebello is, that's where Jay grew up. Just use your imagination. It's here in Southern California. He couldn't wait to get out, though. And now I just found out tonight that he and I are basically neighbors.
Yeah, we live, like, right down the street from each other.
It's weird, so... All right, you ready for some calls here?
Let's do it.
All right, this is for you. This is John 26. John, what's up? You're on with Jay Hernandez.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Well, my question is about getting kind of rough. I've been getting kind of rough with my girlfriend for about, 6 months. And ever since I've been doing that, my penis has been curving to the right more and more.
Good times.
It used to be maybe about 7 inches, now it feels more like 6. And so I'm reading about DMSO. And so I was kind of wondering,
John, what do you do for a living? Just for curiosity's sake.
Just to say the truth.
Yeah.
I'm a businessman. Make about 6 figures.
Yeah, you're not a physician, that's for sure.
No, sales.
And I'm no expert in geometry, but I don't see how a curve takes you from 10 inches to 6, which I believe is what you said. Be that as it may, okay. Just listen, a curve is very common. It's called acquired Peyronie syndrome. There's plenty of treatments out there. You need to see a urologist. It can begin to interfere with your functioning and become quite a problem if you're not careful. So go take care of it. Sometimes, or some research has suggested 800 units of vitamin E a day can be helpful. But oftentimes, it's a scarring. If this is a penis, we're looking at my hand right now. If you start sort of traumatizing one side, you'll form a scar that pulls it over to that side, so you get a kind of a curve.
Yeah.
And what they can do is they can cut a little pie slice off this side to bring it back up, which kind of shortens it, and it's a big surgeon. Who the hell wants to go through that?
Yeah, right.
And some people have suggested that vitamin E can be helpful. So there you go. Jay Hernandez, here we go. Kane 19.
I'm doing a film about scary stuff. That, to me,
that's
sounds
scary,
like some scary stuff.
Now you're having bad dreams. Kane 19, what's up? You're on Jay Hernandez.
How's it going?
We're good.
I was wondering, just out of curiosity, I'm a gay male, and I like to have anal sex with my boyfriend a lot. And I was wondering if there's any positions or anything like that that could possibly make it to where it doesn't hurt as bad.
I'm sorry, I can't. I wish I could. I don't have any information for you, though.
I don't think it's about positions. Why do you insist on doing it, or how is it that you could like it if it hurts so much?
Well, it's like, it's not like, it only hurts like sometimes, but like the other times that it doesn't, it like feels really good for me. And he really enjoys it too.
All right, so when it feels good, why don't you just replicate that?
Avoid the things that hurt.
Exactly. Whatever you're doing that doesn't hurt, stick with that.
You've kind of figured out how to pull this off, so to speak, but you're having pain once in a while. Avoid those things that cause hurt.
Okay,
we're losing him for some reason. I don't know if anybody else heard anything, but he cut off on our line. Alex, 20.
Hey, what's up? I want to say what's up to Hernandez.
How you doing?
Here he is.
I went to go watch the movie. I was wondering, how do you do it, man, when those hot girls are right there?
Oh, you talking about like the sex scenes?
Yeah.
It's you know.
I was like, man,
pretty hot, right?
Yeah, I was like wondering, like, how do they do it? You know, like they have beautiful girls right there.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, you know, you got so many people. Yeah,
he's
I'm a professional,
Alex. How dare you?
How could you?
But that's kind of his question. How do you keep your biology from overcoming your professionalism?
The environment. You got so many people around you. You got, you know, boom operators, camera operators, gaffers.
Yeah, but porn stars seem to manage that okay.
Yeah, but they probably take pills, dude. I don't know.
Yeah. You see everybody in the theater with their mouth open. They're like, what?
Yeah.
What's this film rated?
R.
R.
Yeah.
Just barely.
Did you like it, Alex?
Oh, yeah. It was a good movie. It was a good movie.
Hey, how was the audience, dude? Because when I saw it, when I screened it with an audience, that was one of the best things about it.
Yeah, no, everybody was all like crazy, you know, and they're cutting off the fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, just like, you know, getting all into it.
Right, right. That's the thing, because, you know, I see it, and it's just yelling at the screen, cussing. It's pretty amazing.
You guys are talking in code. Cleaning off the fingers?
Cutting, he said.
Cutting off the fingers.
All right, then.
All right, Alex, thanks for the call.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, it's Jay Hernandez in here, 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Katie, who's 18. Katie?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm really nervous. Sorry.
Why? What's up?
Okay. Well, I've been sleeping with my boss at work. And yes. Last week, he actually got fired. Because?
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets better or worse, I guess. He's married with 3 kids.
What kind of... Is he working... You guys work in a restaurant?
Yeah.
How did I know?
How'd you know that?
Because that's where this kind of stuff goes on.
Typical.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely.
He manages the restraunt. Every time a new sort of, what the greeter is, the girl's
waitress,
the front.
Or,
the receptionist.
Yeah.
Every time she shows up, the hostess, he just preys on one after the other, and then finally he gets fired.
Well, yeah. He was actually a new manager there. And
that makes it even better. They probably fired the last one for the same thing. sprinkle a little cocaine in there, or speed, and you've got the average restaurant manager.
Wow. Enlightening.
That's very true.
Right. Cocaine or speed, which is it?
Cocaine.
Oh, my God.
People are very predictable. It's so funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
well,
no,
not funny,
I totally agree. My question is, I feel like what I'm doing is morally wrong because we've continued the relationship outside of work, like after he got fired. My family, my parents have been divorced from each other 3 times. They got remarried.
3 times?
Yeah, 3 times. 3 times.
Oh, my God. That is bizarre.
During, the beginning of my high school, when I was in high school.
Well, it certainly explains why you have difficulty withholding, holding back from these kinds of crazy relations, so.
Exactly. And I feel like I just keep putting myself into, just these insane, tumultuous relationships.
Are you still involved with this guy or what?
Am I what?
Are you still involved with him?
Yeah.
Oh. As soon as they actually, let's say he were to leave his wife and they were actually to have a relationship, that's when she'd bolt.
Yeah.
There's a theme that's been coming up for the last couple of weeks on this show is that there's an amazing tendency in humans to recreate the things that they find most horrible. So in other words, especially when you're young or growing up, if something happens that terrorizes you, magically you're fascinated with it and attracted to that later on.
Right.
You have an abusive alcoholic dad. You got to have an abusive alcoholic boyfriend. Even that's not obvious what they are.
Yeah.
Magically, that's what they end up being.
Why is that, though?
We don't really know. There's all kinds of theories about it. I think we're just wired that way. I think there's something about the way motivations are set up in the brain. Somehow it must work for us in an evolutionary standpoint, that things that are awful or feel, make us feel powerless becomes overwhelmingly attractive. And here's the situation. In fact, I was thinking about this. You ever watch The Family Guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see it last week where Brian has a near-death experience?
No, is it?
And then he goes out and starts drinking so much that he almost kills himself again. He thought, well, I'm just trying to live for the moment. But
there
it is again. It was a horrible experience. So it recreates a near-death experience again. And Katie, you know, you're smart and you're an adult. You're 18. You don't need this. Go. I think, I don't know how to convince people of this or how to get them to do this, but I think balance is the answer for this kind of behavior. There's more nourishing things out there. There's stability, sanity. It's not so exciting, but balance. Can you think about that maybe going forward?
Yeah. He's leaving his wife.
Oh, here we go.
For you, or is he just leaving her, period?
For me.
Well, now you're going to dump him. You're going to create some real chaos.
It's going to be over soon.
Yeah. This is going to be your divorce number one.
I would like to continue, like, seeing him. I worry that, like, I am looking for, like, the father figure that wasn't so, like, you know, like, feeble in my childhood and in my
adolescence. There's no doubt that that's part of the deal here. But more than that, you're looking for the chaos and the unavailability. Now that he is available, pow, you're going to be done with him. And a good way to make a guy that age feel good is go, I'm looking for a daddy figure, an old man in my life. he'll pull back a little bit at that point. Let's try Dennis 19.
How's it going?
How you guys
We're
doing?
Good.
I just want to say hi, Dr. Drew. I've tried to get in on Loveline so many times, and I could never.
Well, here you are. Here we are.
Thank you. My question is, I have a weird fetish when I masturbate. I like to hear myself in my butt, and I don't know. I'm not attracted to guys in any way. Or
Jay, there's just a sort of a trend here tonight.
I know.
I'm just
what's
saying. I mean, I don't get these calls all the time, but, you know, you're here and we're getting them.
It's
so
like Hernandez is here. Let's talk about the finger in the butt.
Yep. Something in the ass. There we go. Yeah. Is that gay? No. Does it mean something? Yeah, it means something. But what it means mostly more than anything is you are in a minority. Most guys are not into this. And yet the Cosmo writers have picked up on this and are telling women that this is what guys like and this is where their G-spot is and all this crap.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
Most guys do not like this. And by the way, the guys like Dennis that like it, they'll let you know. The guys do not hold back on stuff that they really are into. So are you gay?
No, I'm not gay.
No. All right. Well, there you go. It's just usually it's, you know, it's a way of creating high levels of arousal and stimulation. And if you've had a lot of chaos in your life or trauma, that tends to be the kind of person that needs higher levels of stimulation.
Is it going to cause any problems for me in the future, like physical problems?
No, not as long as you don't start graduating from your finger to bowling pins and stuff like that. All right?
Yeah. Also, I feel a higher stimulant when I masturbate. Is that is that normal or?
You what?
I feel like a higher orgasm when I masturbate because of this.
That's the point. You're needing that kind of high levels of stimulation in order to feel sexual. And as I said, we didn't get into it with you, but there's some trauma or something there that sort of set you up for that. Michael, 23. Jay Hernandez, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How you doing?
Pretty good, not bad. I just wanted to say, I don't really have a question for Drew, but I listen to the show all the time. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. What's up?
I just wanted to say that the movie is absolutely incredible and sick. And I'm glad that it came out.
What'd you like best about it? What was so sick about it?
I don't know. It just blew my mind. I just walked into the movie thinking I was going to watch a snuff movie, and it turned out to be something incredibly different.
You like the story? You like the intrigue, the violence, the girls? What was it?
I think it was all of it. Just, you know, just the way in the beginning, it just seemed like a buddy movie. And then, you know, they're all having fun and having a good time, and it just completely nosedives for all of them.
Yeah, kind of throws you for a loop, you know. It sets you up with one kind of, it feels like a certain type of film, but then it changes, you know.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Captain Fever was really good, too, and but you in this movie, absolutely insane. Good job.
Thanks.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call. Kind of a crappy phone line there, so I have to hang up on him. It's a Quentin Tarantino film, right?
Yeah.
And you can learn more about it at Hostel Film, H-O-S-T-E-L, film, one word, .com. Let's keep going here with Rob, 28. What's up, Rob?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Sweet.
I blame you. Nikki, 14.
Hey, yeah. See, I've been having this problem with this guy, and we're friends with benefits, but, like, I've been wondering if it's something wrong I'm doing or if it's because, you know, he just wants to stay friends with benefits, because I've asked him out before, and he doesn't really answer that.
How old is he?
He is 15.
And you're 14.
Yeah.
When somebody, I mean, he's telling you everything by not answering. It's obvious that's what he wants, and he doesn't want anything more. And if you think you're going to convert him from a friends with benefit from something more, you are sorely mistaken.
I think if you're not in a relationship and you're giving him what he wants, which is, you know, sexual favors.
That's it.
I mean, why would he change the status quo? I mean, you're giving him what he wants.
Well, see, we've never really had sex. We've just, you know, see, things have changed ever since I've been more involved with him, like, in his life. Because I know practically his whole family now, and things have changed ever since that happened.
Has it changed in your mind or in his mind? Because, you know, it sounds like he's not really making any changes.
Yeah, what's your question, Nikki?
Like, I was wondering if it's something wrong that I'm doing, or...
No, yes, something wrong you're doing is thinking that he's going to change. That's wrong. But he is the way he is. Guys, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, but you the people you date, you know when you start what position they're going to take.
You know how far they're going to go.
But you know whether this is going to be a girlfriend, if this is going to be just dating, if this is going to be friends about you.
Yeah.
You know, and can you go from one category to the other?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't change.
No, men do not move from one category to the next.
Right.
Well, see,
sorry,
Nick,
that's the way men are.
His twin. He's been talking to me, and I don't know if that's why, because his twin likes me.
Nikki, you're not listening. You're not listening. It has nothing to do with you. Well, everything in some ways, but nothing you're doing can change how he is.
Now listen.
This is,
hey,
it's the,
listen,
you know,
listen, listen.
Travis, 18. What's up, Travis?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, what's happening?
We all miss Adam.
Hey, you do or you don't?
I definitely do.
You guys don't get it. You guys don't get him out there. He's doing a Stern's
because
job.
Because he's a redneck, that's why he misses.
yeah.
Doing Stern's job out in the West Coast.
Unfortunately, I don't get this show either because I'm stationed in Kansas. And anyway, yeah, I just want to know. I got this friend of mine. He's just a couple of years younger than me. He was like shaving his junk, and then his clothes got washed with a bunch of other people. Anyway, he ended up getting a staph infection on his dick. And
I like the way he has to include in that story something about somebody else's laundry infecting it. Look, he got a laceration on his penis because he had a blade down there, and the staph lives on your skin normally, and that's how you get an infection. That's why you shouldn't put spears through it. You shouldn't put piercings through it because you can get bad infections. So what happened?
All right, but yeah, so it got all swelled up and everything, and he had like somebody take care of it for a while. But then after the swelling went down, he said it was, like, actually bigger, you know, because I guess it was stretched out or whatever.
No, but it's just it's just inflamed all the time.
Are you sure it's, like, I mean, because it's...
You're still talking about when it's flaccid. When he's erect, it's not going to change. It really isn't.
Really?
No.
All right. Well, I was just wondering about that. If, like, the penis got infected, if it would... be bigger afterward, like...
No, he's trying
I know where he's going with this.
Yeah, he's going to make a million. He's going to put it in the back of magazines. Nick, 24.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up?
I have been absent since... Well, I am absent. And a lot
by,
of my friends...
By, you've decided to be absent, or just because there have been no opportunities for you?
Both of them, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
I know a lot of people. I went to college... And there were a couple opportunities for me to date some girls, and I didn't. And I suppose one of the problems I have is that I don't know how to talk to women. I sometimes think that if I ever were to strike up a relationship with a girl, I would end it badly. And
what does that mean?
So.
What do you mean?
That we would break up.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, when you're in your 20s and teens, you're supposed to break up. That's what relationships are about. They don't last forever at that age, typically.
Yeah, I know.
So what's so because you're a normal 20-year-old, you're not going to have a relationship?
Well, I don't know. I suppose part of the problem is that, well, I don't know if I call it a problem, but part of the reason is a lot of my friends praise me for being absent and never having sex. And
yeah, but as you slyly admitted to us at the beginning, it's not by choice.
Right.
Are you a Mormon?
No, I'm Lutheran.
So you made it. You made the ruse of it being a choice, but the reality is because you don't know how to pull it off, and you'd like to.
I suppose and, that's true. Yeah.
I think the thing is, you don't have. You can't be afraid of failing. You know.
Well, if you're also, go out there. No male knows how to talk to girls.
Right.
They just put themselves on the line and they get used to it. And you sort of the train has left the station for you a little bit. You got to go catch it. You know, and get on again.
Definitely.
But there's no other way to do it other than put yourself in situations where you learn how to do it.
You got
to
get shot down and deal with it. Everybody does, you know.
Everybody does.
Good situation to put myself in.
What would be a good situation?
Yeah.
Do you have any female friends you'd like to get to know better?
Yes, but sadly most of them have boyfriends now.
Well, then ask some of them to set you up.
To set me up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go with a friend of a friend. That's easy. It's safe. You got somebody else to talk to. You know, if you got a buddy who's got a girl, you know, and then she's got a girlfriend, that's like, you know, easy territory.
But I shouldn't be approach it like that.
Nick, you know, if you really remain paralyzed by fear, that probably is what we call social phobia. And there is medication for that. And if you're at the point where you cannot function socially, I would definitely look into some treatments. I mean, why not? You're suffering, things you want to do, you can't do. You're a normal, healthy person. Why shouldn't you? Hostel opened up this last weekend, right? Number one in the box office. We're getting tons of calls for Jay Hernandez, how much they liked the film. Hostel is the name of the film. It's a Quentin Tarantino film. If you want to know more about it, it's hostelfilm, oneword.com. Coming out. When is World Trade Center coming out?
In August.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you have to, I'm your neighbor, so you have to invite me to the premiere. So I'm counting.
We'll go.
All right. If you have one of your big star parties in our neighborhood, I want to come to that too. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Hernandez, Dr. Drew, will be right back.
Love Line, we'll be right back.
It's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. We're here at 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Hernandez from the movie Hostel in studio tonight. We seem to have created a theme, a sort of a thematic trend tonight.
Fingers in the butt and what have
Thank
you.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Where'd you go to finishing school? Hey, it says here they discovered you in an elevator.
Yes.
Talent scout. What?
Yeah, dude. I was with my parents and with this guy. You know, he's looking for talent. And
In Montebello?
It was off Sunset. And we were in this office building.
What were you doing there?
My parents were at a bank doing, I don't know what the hell they were doing. But yeah, we were in there and we were about to leave. We're on the 10th floor and this guy jumps in and you know, he's like, I saw you from across the hall. You got a great look. And I kind of thought he was, you know, creepy.
Scary, yeah.
Scary, creepy, random guy.
Right. By the way, anybody else gets that kind of an approach, call the police.
Yeah, you should be cautious.
This is where he got the whole finger on the butt. But anyway. So.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he was like, I, you know, you got a great look. If you're interested in television, film, acting, anything, give me a call. And that's how I got started.
You called him?
Yeah. My mom actually convinced me to call him. And then both of my parents came, we had a meeting. We talked about everything.
What were you, had you been planning before that? For life?
Just about to start, you know, going to junior college.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's say a question for Jay. This is Amanda, who's 18.
Hi.
Hi, Amanda. Pasadena City College, where are we going to go?
PCC is not bad,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, junior college is good. It is a good one. What's up, Amanda?
This question is for Jay.
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to know, like, how did you do that acting? Because, like, the pain, I felt it. I was, like, cringing on the ground. Like, when you got your fingers cut off.
Yeah. It's, you know, it was really intense. That was some of the hardest stuff that I've ever had to do. We were handcuffed and our legs were cuffed to the chair, metal chair, you know, and it took about 3 days to do the whole scene. So physically, I was in pain and you know, mentally.
How many days the whole scene?
Three
days,
yeah.
Of having to but not all
to
of
be
it
tortured, you know. And, yeah. And I mean, from beginning to end, you know, I end up getting out of the yeah. out of the room.
Train you to do that, or did you like do that on your own?
He's an actor.
Well,
he's
I'm
a
an
professional.
Actor. I got yeah. I come with I come with my skills. You know, I got to make it happen. But it was, you know, it was really intense, though.
Well, let's ask it this way. Did the director help sort of tell you what they needed? Or is it something you had created yeah. for the moment?
Well, he gives you something, but then you just go with it, you know? And he loved what I was doing, and he's like, I'm not going to change anything. Just keep on being where you're at, you know?
And it says Quentin Tarantino produced it. He directed?
No, he didn't direct it. Eli Roth directed it, yeah.
Okay, Amanda?
Okay.
There you go. This is Tori, 26. Tori?
Yeah.
Here you go. You're on the air with Jay Hernandez. Oh. You are on.
Okay. Well, I actually had kind of a traumatic childhood growing up. My parents were both on cocaine for some time. And then my dad was an alcoholic, and he was, you know, at the bars and wouldn't come home and almost lost his job and things. And my mom got her act together when I was about 8. And my dad didn't, so they got divorced. And then about 2 years later, they got remarried. And I just have always been, like, hyper, and then I get depressed, and my sex life kind of goes in the same way.
You become hypersexual and then shut down sexually?
Yes. Like, right now, I recently got married almost a year ago, and, like, we haven't had sex in, like, a month, and that's not typical for us. And I've been taking Paxil for about 4 months, but it doesn't seem to be.
Well, Paxil will shut you down sexually, so that may be why you have no desire. It may interfere with your orgasmic functioning. That's not going to enhance your sexual experience.
How old are you? Just curiosity.
26. And I've just always wondered if, and then I mentioned when I called to the woman that everyone always like complains that I'm too skinny and that I need to eat more, and I'm 5'3" and I weigh like 100 pounds, and I've never felt that I've been underweight, but...
Yeah, but stress does that to you, though. You lose appetite, I mean, you know.
That, and she may have a body image problem with all the chaos. Here's what happens coming out of a family like that, is you don't build the normal systems for emotional regulation. You can't regulate your feelings, and so all you have is very primitive means of sort of regulating, and that is things like drugs and alcohol, sex, eating disorders, cutting, all that is what you fall back to try to feel better. And really, treatment is about building more effective means of regulating your feelings. Do you cut?
No, never.
But you have the eating disorder.
I don't think so. I mean, I just don't eat a lot of meat and things, but I eat a lot of vegetables and.
All right. What's the question exactly?
I was just wondering. Like, I hear you talking about like eating disorders and like sexual abuse, and mm-hmm. A part of me like wonders, but is it possible that I could have completely shut it out? Because, I mean, my parents had, like,
sure.
drug addicts and drug dealers.
Yeah.
God only knows around.
God only knows. It could have been something that happened you don't remember, or maybe at the time it didn't seem very intense or didn't leave a huge memory, but it may have affected you in terms of how you felt at the moment. May have been before your memory functions were even really working. May have been prior to the age of 3. I mean, your mom cleaned up by the time you were 8. There was a long, you know, this has been going on for a while. Mm-hmm. And, under the age of 3, people often don't remember, but it just leaves behind an imprint. They have trouble. Again, their sexual behaviors are altered. They tend to have a lot of what we call somatoform symptoms. They have headaches and pelvic pain and back pain and this sort of thing. So the bottom line is, Tori, get some treatment, for goodness sakes. You're suffering with this. Your relationship is getting affected. You're now on Paxil, and that's making you shut down sexually. At least go, not don't just take the medication. Get in and talk to somebody. Susan, 20.
Hi. I have a problem. My parents have been babbling ever since I was in sixth grade right now. And,
you hear what you said?
I don't know.
It sounds like they were babbling since they were in sixth grade.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
My parents have been gambling ever since I was in sixth grade. And they declared bankruptcy, and we had moved. I lived in Arizona, and we moved here, and then we lived with my uncle a couple of years, and they stopped. They got their life together, and just like about like earlier last year, they started gambling again, and they just totally screwed everything up. Like, they would just recently, they just stole my, they did a fraud on me. They stole my credit, I mean, my social security card and my driver's license, and they did a...
What kind of gambling, just because it's interesting, what kind of gambling do they do?
My mom, I know that she does slots, and my dad, I'm not sure.
Where?
They go to Morongo's, I guess, because my sister found out that my sister gave her a check to pay a bill, right? Because they can't open up their own bank account. Huh. And my mom actually wrote out the check and put it under her name and took out withdrawal money from my sister.
Well, here's the deal. You got to deal with this like any other addiction. You got to say, look, you guys either, I'll be a part of your recovery. I'm not going to be a part of your life if you're in your disease. And you got to get the hell out of there. They have proven themselves not worthy of being in your life.
Yeah, I told them, like,
anything you do, you being around will enable them to go gamble some more. They'll find a way to manipulate you, get money out of you, use your identity, and that'll be that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I moved out. I did move out. And, like, they told me that, you know, they're getting better or whatnot. My mom actually moved to Hawaii just to get a job there, a really good job that her friend gave her. And she's been sending money to us. And my dad, he's just been sitting at home, not doing anything, being jobless. And when she just visited during winter break, they went gambling again. And she just left, like, you know, like a couple days later to go back to work to get more money.
What are you telling us? What do you want to know?
I'm not sure what to do. Like, I tried to
tell. What did I tell you to do? What did I just tell you?
Just
you got to get out of here. I know these stories are very dramatic and very painful. You've got to get out of it. You are enabling him to continue what he's doing. Just as if you were doing heroin and you gave him a place to live and gave him money and food, that enables him to go on with his disease. So, Susan, that's it. You have to be very tough on this kind of stuff. Jessica, 17.
Yes?
What's up? You're on with Jay Hernandez.
Hi, this question is for Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Jessica. I was wondering, by any chance, do you have a girlfriend? And, like, if you don't, like, how do you, like... She reacted to the fact of the movies you played with the girls and everything.
I do have a girlfriend.
How would you react to that, Jessica?
Yeah. How would you react to that? Seeing me do, you know, the things that I'm doing on screen.
I'll be jealous.
Just his job.
She was
professional. He told you biologically he has no reaction. He's dead inside.
Zero reaction. No, but you know, it is tough, but she deals with it really well. I mean, I gotta hand it to
what
her.
What does she do?
Is she
an actress?
Well, I met her on a show, but she's
but
a student
actress.
Right now. No, no,
she's an
done
actress.
With the business, yeah.
But she understands what your job is.
Oh, yeah, she totally gets it. That's why, I think, because, you know, she's been there, she understands what it is, that she can deal with it. If she didn't have that experience, I don't know if she could.
Mm.
Yeah.
You see that, Jessica?
Yes, and also, like, was it hard for you, like, for her, like, she didn't have a point, like, that she was jealous or anything, she just dealt with it right quick?
Yeah, she pretty much just.
Jessica,
dealt with
I think
it.
You're jealous of Jay for what he does on film.
I think I am.
Yeah, I think you are too. You gotta let go of that. It's gonna be okay.
I'm sorry about that,
Kelsey. 24. He's sorry. He really is. Not gonna stop though.
Hi.
Kelsey, what's up?
I've been wetting the bed since childhood,
mm-hmm.
and I recently stopped because I was put on to Detrol LA and DDAVP.
So the DDAVP prevents your body from releasing fluid, basically. It hangs on to fluid. And the Detrol is a urinary medicine, so.
Right. Throughout my life, I thought, you know, it was going to stop. My pediatrician said it would end by the time I hit puberty. Didn't happen. And so I just kind of kept it a secret because I was so embarrassed and I thought it was, like, my fault. And then once I got to college, I was so embarrassed, and I just never wanted it to happen again. I started to, like, give myself bladder infections because I didn't want to have any more accidents. So I would dehydrate myself, and I would hold in my urine to try and, like, strengthen the muscle, and I would just get bladder infection after bladder infection. And so my doctor sent me to a urologist, and I broke down. I told him the truth, and he put me on the medication, and he did a bunch of tests, and he found out that I had, like, an underdeveloped bladder, and my urethra was unusually small, so it was harder for me to feel when I had to go to the
bathroom. This is why it's important to go get these things evaluated. They can have a biological basis to it. So you really weren't a bedwetter, you just had an abnormal bladder.
Yeah, and also I lacked the chemical in my brain that shut off my kidneys at night, so that's why he put me on the DDAVP. So.
Right.
After a year of being on the medication, the problem was gone, but then the secret was just eating me alive. And so I decided to go into therapy because I was just really upset. And
what's the secret? You, of course, you're obsessed about it. You've had dealing with it your whole life, but there's no secret. You have a kidney problem, bladder problem.
in my mind, I thought that, you know, I was a bedwetter, and it was just so embarrassing to me because, like, my dad, you know, blamed me. He said I was just lazy and I didn't want to get out of bed. And it was just, there was a lot of stuff there. And I, when I went to therapy, I found out that I had post-traumatic stress because I couldn't sleep because I was just, there was years of just staying up at sleepovers to like 2 or 3 in the morning to try and beat the accident, and just like years and years of doing that. There's just a lot of trauma from living with that. And so my question is, I've been in therapy, but I'm kind of hit a wall, and I really...
What's the wall?
I just I need to relate to somebody who's gone through this. And my urologist says that this condition is pretty rare. Like,
yeah, I don't think you're gonna find anybody that specifically has this.
Because like,
you might want to start group therapy in general. Talk to your therapist about a referral for a group.
I'm in a group right now.
Okay.
Actually, with people with eating disorders, because she said, I mean, that's what she specializes in, and like.
Mm-hmm.
She said, this probably is the closest thing you can get because, you know, you would harm your body with the bladder infections because you felt a lack of control over your body. But, I mean, I just wanted to know, is there any kind of surgery? Because I don't want to be on this medication my whole life. And, like, the Detrol is pretty...
Your urologist would have advised that if there were a good surgery. These are simple medicines. They are not harmful. They're no big deal. Take the medicines. The surgery, I bet, would be a big mess if there even is one.
Do you, like, know of any doctors that specialize in this kind of...
Kelsey, you're seeing one. What's bothering me is you're so obsessive that you won't let go of things. You're refusing to let go of stuff. That's the problem here.
I know, it's been...
You don't trust people, you don't let go. There seems to be more than just the small bladder going on here. Now, whether you got into this cycle because of the small bladder, I certainly can't say. But you got to trust the people that are taking care of you. You got to trust, stay with the urologist you're seeing, trust him or her, stay with the therapist, trust them, open to your group, and do the work. If you want to get better, you'll get better with this. It'll be fine. Joe, 22.
Yeah, hi. Like, a week ago, me and my girlfriend, we had a threesome with another guy. Usually we have them with girls, but she wanted it with a guy this time. And in the heat of the moment, like, I was starting to hook up with him. And he got me off better orally than she does.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
I don't know how they let that one go on. There's no way that was true. Hey, Joe. Joe. Yeah, he's gone, so. That's just totally bogus. Okay, this is Casey, 25.
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
What's going on?
Good, how you doing?
You're on with Jay Hernandez, the movie Hostel.
Oh. Well, the question I have tonight is, I'm becoming a father for the first time, and we found out it's a girl. And it freaks me out knowing that I'm having a girl, because I know that the percentage of girls that get molested when they're younger. And in the back of my mind, it just freaks me out, thinking I can do everything I can to try to protect her, but, I mean, certain things you can't.
Did you have some kind of sexual abuse when you were growing up?
That was going to be my first question.
You never did, but your mom?
I never did. No.
Somebody,
but
girlfriend?
Just recently, I found out that my wife
magically
was molested by her brother when she was younger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He never penetrated or anything, but the things that he did do.
Do you have any tendency to be weird that way?
No.
You sure? You don't look at pictures or anything?
No, I'm a pretty normal guy, I would think, in all senses.
Well, your wife's attracted to you,
right?
So that just made me wonder.
And
you're freaking out unnaturally about your daughter being sexually abused.
Well, no, see, she had never talked to anybody about it. And I've been listening to the show recently, and so I always kind of, I mean, we've been married for 4 years, and I always knew that there was kind of something that she was hiding. And so finally one night I got her to open up to me about what had happened and what was going on, and I tried to help her get it off her chest just so that we can let it go, you know. Try to get rid of it so that it wouldn't be bottled up inside anymore. So, no, I know that there's nothing I can do. I know what happens, but I'm just trying to, in my mind, it just bothers me thinking that my little daughter might be taken advantage of.
What would you like from us? The reality is the vast majority don't have that happen. And even those that have unwanted sexual contact, the number that have overt sexual abuse is not that huge a number. I mean, it's a lot of people, but it's not a high percentage. And so be a diligent parent. What else do you want us to do for you?
Well, I mean, I think I'll be a good dad. I mean, I
I have a dog.
Casey.
To him, then.
Casey, what do you want from us tonight? Come on, buddy. What can we do to help you?
I just want to know how I can let that out of my mind, the thought.
You can't. We can't talk you out of that. That's all you're up to. Believe me, being a parent will keep you busy enough that you won't be thinking about that very much.
I just think it's kind of weird that he's so preoccupied with it.
It makes me wonder. Yeah. And she married him, the wife, and we know that people that have been sexually abused are attracted to abusers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if all of a sudden he starts developing feelings he didn't expect?
Yeah, maybe he's afraid of something.
That's what I think. And Casey, if that happens, please, dear God, get some help for yourself at that point so then your child doesn't get the worst possible outcome, which is being victimized by her dad. 1-800-LOVE-191 is our phone number. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Jay Hernandez from the movie Hostel, www.hostelfilm.com, and we'll be right back.
This is Loveline.
Loveline, Jay Hernandez in here tonight. The movie is Hostel. You also know him from Crazy Beautiful with Kirsten Dunst, The Rookie, Joyride, Friday Night Lights. That was a great film.
Yeah.
Just want to mention what's coming up next week with us on Loveline. We got Steve-O coming up. We got some of the cast of Laguna Beach, the Alex and Alex, Alex M and Alex H, Alicia Cuthbert from 24, Jenna Fisher from The Office, one of my favorite guests, Joe Rogan, Danny Bonaducci, DJ AM. It's some really interesting guests coming up the next couple of weeks, so please stay tuned. But right now we are going to Monique, who is 20. Monique, what's up? You're on with Jay Hernandez.
Hi.
Hey. How you doing?
Hi, Jay. Hi, Joe.
Hey there.
Okay, my situation is, I'm 20 now. I went through puberty when I was pretty young, I started my period when I was 10, and I haven't known my dad. He left our family when I was, 2, but I lost my virginity at 11, and ever since then, I don't know, I haven't talked to anyone about the psychological reasons. I don't really have any girlfriends either, but every time I'm in a sexual, if I'm having sex with a guy, I need to have more than one guy in the room with me. They don't have to be, performing the sex acts on me. I can just have one guy doing that. But I always, it can be up to, five guys. The more,
Wow.
Guys, what does that do for you?
I don't know. I just listening to you over the years, I've just put together, since I haven't had a male father figure in my life, that I need the male attention. But it's, I don't really know. I just kind of wanted to ask you. I'm too scared to ask anyone else. I just need,
What are the guys doing? What are the men doing during these episodes you have?
Just if one of them's, having sex with me, the other ones are just, either watching. I've had guys, filming before.
How do you pull this off? How do you get the guys to sort of cooperate with all this?
How do I get them to cooperate?
Well, I mean, yeah. If you have a boyfriend, you have to say you have to bring your buddies in here with a camera.
When was the first time that happened?
I lost my virginity at 11.
But when did you bring the other guys in, though?
It was around age 13. I had two guys, and then
Monique, slow down. You were sexually abused at 11. People don't lose their virginity at 11. That's sexual abuse, okay?
Okay.
Do you understand that? How old was the person who acted out on you?
He was 14.
All right. So something was up with that 14-year-old. You had sexual abuse at 11. I definitely get the feeling something happened to you much younger, too, maybe with dad or somebody else. Well, what happened?
No.
Oh, absolutely. Something happened.
No, nothing really happened.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
You hear that 3-year-old voice.
Yeah,
that's a developmental arrest. I mean, something rather traumatic happened around that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that little girl voice is a very sure sign of trouble.
Well,
and the fact that you were raped at 11, I mean, even that is enough by itself. That 11-year-old circumstance, frankly, and then at 14 or 13, you're having sex with multiple partners.
Well, I wouldn't have to be. When I was 14, there was just another guy in the room.
That is way out of line behavior. That's already a sign of something very seriously has gone wrong by that point.
What do you suggest I get help?
This is about trauma, sexual traumas, Monique, and you got to see a therapist who's very skilled. and can hang in with you through a very bumpy ride of dealing with this. Sometimes EMDR, which is an eye movement therapy, can be helpful in overcoming some of this. But there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that there's some very heavy sexual traumas here. And the man in the room and all that is, I wouldn't, to try to make sense of that, I think is a huge mistake. I think you're trying to rationalize something that really is just an indoctrinated, intense, primitive behavior. And it needs to be kind of sorted through and undone in a very delicate way. You thinking about it is going to be distorted because it's your brain trying to figure it out, and your brain is under the influence of whatever trauma
you suffer. You need somebody else to come in and tell her what's
going on. You
need somebody
to tease it through and to kind of get you through this and develop, you know, further along in terms of your emotional development.
Yeah.
But please go see somebody. Any good doctor, therapist should be able to help you with this, okay?
Okay.
All right, Monica. Don't overthink it. This is something that people do an awful lot of believing that they can think their way through stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you have trauma, when you have mental health issues, your thinking is disturbed.
Right. The
thinking is at the service of the disorder always. It's like an alcoholic trying to reason why they should continue drinking or why they should follow certain plans of action.
Yeah.
That's all sick thinking because the alcoholism is driving it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take another break here. Jay Hernandez is in the house with us tonight. The film is Hostel, killed last weekend, opened up at number one all weekend?
Yeah, all weekend.
All weekend. And
I think it's been a number one spot since then.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And he'll be out in the summer with Oliver Stone's new film, World Trade Center, opposite Nicolas Cage. He is a neighbor of mine. I swear to God, we literally live half a mile, three quarters of a mile apart.
Mile away,
so I'm going to come to all his Hollywood parties now. It's going to be great in our neighborhood. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191, and Jay and I will be right back.
All right, guys, here's the deal. You're looking to hook up, sick of wasting time with the wrong person?
Dateline.
One call is all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 877-889-DATE.
Call the Dateline.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Everybody, Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Hernandez in here tonight. I'm Dr. Drew, and Jay and I are actually neighbors. He's in the new movie Hostel, and we're just figuring out how we can go running together outside our house. What kind of dog do you have?
It's not my dog. It's my girlfriend's dog. If I said it was mine, you know, it's a miniature pincher. It's a cute little lap dog.
You can't go running with that dog.
I know.
You got to get a real dog so we can go running.
Like a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I've got Australian
Shepherds.
Shepherds. They're great.
No, they're great. Actually, German Shepherds are some of the smartest dogs.
And you will find in our neighborhood raccoons, deer, coyote.
Yeah,
like
I've
crazy.
Already seen them.
We have bobcats in our yard. We had two different bobcats.
All right, so I can't let the dog
Rabbits.
Run wild.
The dogs will clear out the bobcats. You can't have cats. They
really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's good times. And so when you grew up in Montebello, what was your sort of upbringing like?
I don't know.
Average family?
Average
How
family.
How many siblings do you have?
I got two older brothers, younger sister.
What are they doing now?
One of my brothers in the military. One of my brothers just doing... you know, jobs here and there. He's working at an ink factory.
Do they think it's cool what you're doing? Do they bust your chops for it?
No, they love what I do. Love what I do. I'm really proud of me. My sister, she works in a pharmacy.
In town, in Pasadena?
Yeah, no, in what city is it? I'm not sure. It's like Covina.
Covina.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, you know, just basic family. Parents are still married. Good family.
Your dad was the primary breadwinner?
Yeah.
What did he
mechanic.
Do for a living?
He's mechanic. Yeah.
What kind of...
He
car
did, I did like diesel trucks and all that kind of stuff. So car, he can basically fix anything.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So do you have fun cars now that he gets to tinker on for you?
No, he still tinkers on his own cars. He's got like 54 Chevys fixing up right now. So he's got some cool cars actually.
This is Mary 21. Whoops. Mary 21. There we go. What's up, Mary?
Hey, so since butt sex seems to be like the issue tonight, I had a question about it.
Oh, sure. Well, it's Jay Hernandez, so what else are we going to talk about?
I'm the king of butt sex, apparently.
Of course. So my question is, first of all, I have done it probably 12, 13 times, maybe.
Yeah.
And every time that I do it, it not only, you know, hurts while it's happening, but then, for a week after, I'm, bleeding
Mary.
Yes.
Why do you keep going back to the well for more?
Because there is, I know so many girls who really like it, and my boyfriend likes it.
Okay,
so
but Mary,
much.
that's not you.
Yeah.
That's not you, and you are harming yourself. In fact, you're going to need to have some testing done now.
Really?
Make sure.
Can you really get some serious problems?
Absolutely.
From that?
Why not? How could it? Let's just think about it. I mean, just think about it. There are parts of your body that I mean, you're not alone in thinking. Well, how could you do? That's a part of your body, A, that is not infinitely resilient.
Right.
So you can cause just harm, just a matter of mechanics. Two, that it's prone to hemorrhoids, fissures, fistulas, abscesses. And as you age, that's particularly women, that's an area it's all kinds of problems starts to happen. Now, of course, no one talks about it. So these young women don't know that's they're in for that later. This is going to start happening in their 50s, I'm convinced
of
it.
So the stuff they're doing now will actually affect them 40 years from now.
Absolutely, and in ways that we don't even know yet.
Right.
I always had discussed the fact that, you know, your rectum can prolapse. It can actually fall out of the rectum. It happens as you get older, right?
Wow.
David Alan Greer spoke about that, in fact. You have that, Anderson? Let's see if he has that. Anderson, you listen to the show?
Did you ask?
Yeah, I'm listening to the show. My hands were full, though. Hold on.
Oh, thanks.
Full of what?
Full of me, if you must know.
Are you going to give me the drop or no?
It's coming. Hold on.
Oh, thanks. Good. The drop, that is, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I should play the drop or I should come?
Just play the drop.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
There you go. All this for that. So, Mary, I would suggest you stop doing this and you need to see a gastroenterologist or a proctologist to make sure you haven't seriously harmed yourself.
Okay. Well, I just had a baby, and so I had stuff like that checked out, you know, and they didn't seem to think that there were any problems.
No, they did not check. No. They did not check that out.
Well, they stuck their finger up my butt.
Yes, but they were not looking for the kind of thing that I'm talking
about. It's probably a whole different thing.
Yes.
Okay. So there's no kind of lube or anything that's going to help with that.
Not going to prevent the tearing and bleeding, which is what you've been through. That needs to be checked out now.
Does it go in the butt?
Exactly.
I think we have to change the theme up a little bit, you know?
All right, let's try this. Julie, 17.
Hi.
Hey, Julie.
Okay, well, my problem is that I masturbate like a healthy American, but when I masturbate with a vibrator, I imagine I'm with a woman, like a girl, like especially like my friends.
Okay.
And when I masturbate...
You're a lesbian.
...bathtub... which I run the water on me, I imagine I'm with a man.
Okay, and your question is?
Well, I don't understand why I'm fantasizing about women. I've never been attracted to them in, like,
you're a lesbian.
Real life. What?
You're a lesbian. Nothing. Listen, it's fantasies that people have while they're masturbating are not necessarily related to what they're going to sort of choose for sexual partners in real life.
Because I could never imagine kissing any of my friends in real life.
That's fine, but women are sort of sexual objects. What I find kind of curious is that the men are only with you in the bathtub and the women with the vibrator.
Well, it's like the vibration is with the woman, and so it's easier to imagine doing it with a woman. And in the bathtub, it's harder and more like a man.
All right, so you're just how you, it just fits more with the fantasy. So that's fine.
Maybe she just watches a lot of porn.
Do you?
No, I've actually never seen porn in my life.
Really? Girl. Julie, this is fine. This is just, don't worry about it. You're fine. You're extra good, okay?
Well, I don't want anything to be wrong with me, but thank
no,
you.
No, you're fine. There's no implications of any of this, okay?
Okay. Dr. Right. Drew, real quick.
Yeah.
I have a Germany or Florida, but I didn't read it. I saw it on the news, actually.
All right, let's hear it. Okay. We hang on to it. Hold on a second. Julie's going to tell us a crazy, bizarre story, and we're going to tell her, did it happen in Germany or Florida, where all macabre comes from?
Right.
Okay. It's not all just Slovakia. All right, Julie, go.
Okay, so a man is arrested. He was trying to rob a 7-Eleven, or I'm just putting that
in. All right, Florida.
Game over.
Florida.
I made up the 7-Eleven. He was robbing a convenience store, something like that.
Right.
And he was arrested. The police came. He was arrested. He was taken into custody. And they have on film, because they filmed the rooms that they put them in, they have on film the man going in and the police officer leaving to get something. The man reaches into his pants, pulls out a gun, shoots himself. The police officer then walks in, sees the man dead on the floor from his shot wound from his...
Well, I would have to say it's the United States. Because in Germany, guns, you know, it's probably really hard to come across a gun.
By the way, that's not that uncommon. That kind of people commit all kinds of crazy, desperate acts when they're committing crimes. They're in altered states sometimes. And
probably
high. Captured, yeah.
On drugs.
They can do very impulsive things. That's why, you know, oftentimes when people are in custody, they're observed constantly to make sure they don't do something like that.
Well, obviously not well enough. He had a gun in his pants.
No, I know. But who knows what stage of sort of intake he was at that point. Anyway, so we're going Florida.
It was Florida. You guys
yeah.
are good. And I
all right, Julie.
It with the 7-Eleven.
Okay. Oh, you tried to talk your way out of that. Okay, this now is Drew, 20.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, she basically when she was younger, she got raped.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together for going on 3 years. She tells me that she wants to have sex and everything else, but anytime like we get closer to that point, she always pushes me away.
Don't touch me, or I'll kill you.
And I was wondering if there's like any way I can help her through that, or what I can do.
Other than just be patient.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything you can do. I mean, if it's going to come from her. I mean, therapy or something. But there's no way that you're going to be able to change how she approaches sex. You know, it's.
You ever been with somebody who turned out to be a trauma survivor and thought, "Oh my god"?
Yeah.
How was that?
You know, it's
at first it's good though, right? It's usually somebody very enthusiastic and
right,
very into stuff,
but
and all
the thing
of a sudden
is,
you get
too much. It bubbles up to the surface eventually. You know what I mean?
Start crying every time you try to go
I'm
out.
Like,
to,
what did I do?
Yeah, or you're having sex and you try to go out to work. You have to have a job in the morning. Where are you going?
Yeah.
All these emotional reactions occur. How did in that particular case, or when you're maybe thinking of now, how did it finally come out? Did you have to kind of push on it, or did she say, you know, I'm sorry?
I think a lot of times. People want to talk about it. They don't know how. And like the other caller, he's like, you know, I knew something happened. I just didn't know what or how long ago it was. You know, it's like, yeah, you kind of, you understand, you know, like, I guess they drop hints or something.
And when you're younger, too, you don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, okay, well, I'm here for you, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. If you got to say something, say it.
Yeah, know. Great. I'm here. I'm listening. It's great. Oh, don't worry.
And then
about
when it.
It
happens, you're like, okay, what do I say?
Well, there's that, and then you start seeing all the chaos and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's part of it, too.
So, all right, let's take another call. This is Chad, 21. Chad?
Hey.
What's happening there?
Got a question for Drew.
Yep.
I coach a Little League baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little boy on there who his parents have told me he takes Ritalin. He has ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's kind of getting over-medicated. He's has hair falling out. He's super thin. And I'm wondering if I should call CSD. And what are the signs of, like, over-medication?
Those can be normal side effects. Do not you have no business sort of getting involved with somebody's medical management. If you want to ask the parents about it or ask to be able to speak to the doctor, if there are things that can be done to help out. But look, you're way out of your league if you think you're going to be commenting about this. Why he's on Ritalin, how much he's on, whether he's having significant side effects, what are the coexistent medical problems there may be, who knows? I would definitely bring it up with the parents, but do not assume that it's something sinister on the part of the parents, that the child has some illness. Kids get sick. That happens. Sarah, 19.
Hi. I have a question about bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
as long as it includes some sort of anal stimulation, Jay's here to help you.
Or leather. It works.
Mostly whips, paddles, and nipple clamps. And I just wanted to know how long you would have to do it in order to do permanent damage.
I guess it would be dependent upon what you do, actually, right?
Yes, if you twist your nipple off, it takes two or three minutes.
Obviously. Okay, so what about bruises that last for, like, months on end?
What about them? Your skin discolors and you get a permanent mark.
Right. Is that indicative of something permanent that's going to take place or not?
Sir, I don't even know what you're asking.
I think
you
she's saying...
Here's the deal. If you tear something off your body, you're hurt. If you jam something into it, you're hurt. If you, you know, rip your liver out, you're hurt. I don't understand.
Constant bruising have any lasting effect? Maybe that's what she's trying to get at.
Other than damaging muscle, damages muscle, creates discoloration of the skin, and will eventually break down the skin. I'm sorry, sir. I mean, recurrent trauma? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That was just a bizarre... Albert, 33.
Yeah. How's it going?
You're on with Jay Hernandez. What's up there?
How you doing?
good. Hey, I want to shout out to Jay Hernandez. Hey, I'm actually, my last name is Hernandez, too.
All right, you're probably a family.
Oh. Wait, and you're from Southern California. Your name is Hernandez?
Yeah,
how bizarre.
There's only about two of us, dude. It's me and you.
Yeah, exactly. I graduated like with five of them.
Yeah, there's like a million.
Yeah,
there's
eight
about
in your school.
I just want to tell you, good job, man. You know, good thing that not a lot of Latinos out there trying to get into the business.
Not too many. But like, you know what? Race. I got to say thanks to the fans because, you know, you guys went out there and supported it. So,
yeah.
You guys are putting me out there.
Yeah, I've been watching since the beginning. I made my girlfriend watch it. Oh, he's cute and all that, but, you know. Anyway. So I just want to give you a heads up. I mean, not a heads up, but I want to give you thanks, man, for keeping you know, the name out there.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Is he hood?
It's Pedro. It's just for you, Albert, that Jay does his work. This is Jessica, 21. This one's for Jay, too. What's up, Jessica?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You're on with Jay Hernandez.
Okay. I go into a bar or, like, a pool hall.
Is this a joke?
No.
No.
Okay.
This
is the question. Okay, so I'll go into a bar or a pool hall or something, and I'll be playing pool with a couple of girlfriends, you know, drinking and stuff, and, like, smiling and giggling and whatnot, and nobody, like, comes over.
You're fat.
No.
Ooh.
I'm
wow.
not fat. That's mean.
I didn't say that. Anderson did that.
I'm,
And you're wondering why guys don't come up?
Yeah.
You're overweight.
I'm not overweight. I'm healthy.
Uh-oh. What do you weigh?
Okay. I'm like 185.
Ooh.
5'7".
How tall are you? 5'7"?
5'7" and a half.
Yeah, Jessica, that is unhealthy.
It's a little big.
Yeah.
185?
Yeah, that's not healthy. You're fat.
It's actually below the average in Bakersfield, though.
Yeah, maybe in Bakersfield. But from a health standpoint, let's be clear. 140, 150 would be max.
Yeah, 185 is pretty big. I mean, she tops me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how much I weigh.
Right.
And I'm over 6 feet.
Yeah. So I would definitely say, you know, I mean, it's about health. It's about your future. I mean, you can't stay at that weight and not have health problems in the future.
Okay. Yeah, you're 21 now. Now's your fighting weight.
Right.
Later on, it gets more.
Yeah.
So just focus on exercise and losing weight. Focus on your health, and magically, guys will kind of come around.
Cut off that fast food, dude.
Yes. Or hang on a black bar.
Telling you.
Oh. Anderson, you're in tonight, right?
There you go.
I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, so I decided I better pay attention for my last hour.
Where are you going to be?
I got to go back east, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philly, New York.
For what?
I got business.
What? Shady.
Yeah, sounds shady to me.
My dad's got to go back there, and he's not feeling so hot, so I'm going to accompany him on his trip.
Oh, that's good.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's all right. He'll make it.
All right. Hey, Mike, 26. You're on with Jay Hernandez from the movie Hostel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Dr. Drew, this is for you. 3 years ago, I got divorced because my wife cheated on me. And then I just barely got out of a relationship with a married woman. And now I'm attracted to that. I'm attracted, you know, to a married woman. I'm, like, drawn to him. Like, I want to be with him, and I don't know why.
There's that thing again, that thing that traumatizes us. We got to go after it. Remember I was talking earlier in the show about things that made you feel powerless and overwhelmed? Did somebody cheat in your family when you were growing up?
No, not at all.
I think one thing about going after somebody who's married is you know that you're not going to have any sort of commitment. You know what I mean?
They got
a whole family and everything going on.
There's
a million reasons,
right? You don't have to be vulnerable again because you know she's not available.
Yeah.
You get the sense of revenge at women who, you know, have done you wrong. And there you are, attracted back to that thing that made you feel so horrible.
Okay.
It's amazing. Let's go ahead and stop, though, Mike. You don't have to do those primitive things that your brain tells you should do.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You can find your way into a healthier situation, all right?
Okay.
All right, you're disrupting other people's... It's not okay. You're disrupting other people's lives. Jessica, 15.
Hi.
What's up?
I think my brother masturbates to me.
What makes you think that?
Huh?
How old is he?
He is 17.
And what have you seen?
Well, he's been in, like, the same bed as me, because I had to sleep in the same bed as him, and he's masturbating, and then one time he hid in my closet, and like after I got out of the shower, and I found him in there, and my mom just didn't believe me that that he was in there looking at me like that.
Okay. First thing, are you still sleeping in the same bed with him?
No, it was just a temporary thing. Like, okay. We went up to, like, you know.
All right, well, no more of that under any circumstances.
Okay.
And how about you get a little barrel bolt lock on your door in your room? Lock things up. He's not okay to come around you anymore. He's showed himself to have difficulty containing his behavior. Don't be alone with him. Be very careful. Protect yourself. Something's up with your brother.
How does she confront the parents, though? That'd be my, I mean.
Well, I love the fact that she complained to her mom that, you know, bro was in the closet and fell out of the, you know, it's like the Family Guy fell out of the closet with camera equipment. It's like, and mom goes, oh, no.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
What do you mean, no?
I think.
Of course it's denial, but goddamn, my parents make me angry sometimes. Your child comes up and tells you something. I don't care if they're a chronic liar. You got to take this kind of stuff seriously.
Definitely.
And Jessica, unfortunately, you're not getting that support from them. I'd certainly bring it up again, but get that bolt on your door. It's just a barrel bolt. You kind of screw it in, you know, one of those things that slides across, you know, or maybe even a chain. Mm-hmm. Just something you can use to protect yourself.
Well, when it was at the lake, and I told my dad about it. He didn't believe me, and he thinks it's so embarrassing. You shouldn't tell people about that.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, that's
so
horrible.
You just, you know, you broadcast the whole country about it, but I wouldn't tell anybody else.
Yeah, what's the audience right now?
A couple million across Canada.
That's
no big deal.
Nothing.
All right, Jessica, come on. Seriously, unfortunately, you're not going to get the support from the parents that you should get. Contain that brother. Get some locks on your doors and that sort of thing, and do not be alone with him, all right?
All right.
All right. It's okay. You're fine. You're right. Unfortunately, you're not getting the support you need. They're in denial. They don't want to believe it. It's painful for them. It's painful for them.
Yeah.
But you got to protect yourself, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Monica, 24. Monica.
Hi.
Hey there.
I just had a quick question, and I want to say I love Jay Hernandez. Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, interestingly, he's here tonight.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a big fan. I was so excited to hear. I was like, ah!
What do you think it was his best work?
Well, like, the first thing that I saw was the movie with Kirsten Dunst, and
yeah.
That's just when I fell in love, so.
Crazy Beautiful?
Yeah. And then I've seen every movie, like, even Friday Night Lights. Like, I hate football, but I watched it just to see you in it, so.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, like,
Have you seen Hostel?
Huh?
Have you seen Hostel yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you're going to love that one.
Yeah, I'll have to see it.
Go see him.
It's a little intense, but, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
See him making out with lots of women.
Oh, no.
She doesn't want to see that.
All right. You're having sex with them.
You're paying for the best of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you ready for my question?
We are indeed.
Okay. This is so embarrassing. I hate this, but I have, I lactate.
Huh?
And I have really bad thyroid. And, like, out of nowhere, I just gained, like, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, and then I got on a thyroid medication.
So you have something called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where your thyroid gets shut down? Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay, but you know you definitely have thyroid disease.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, and so you get your thyroid levels checked on your medication?
Mm-hmm.
And have they been okay lately?
Yeah, they've been okay lately. My medication's really high, and, like, they gave me a 1.25. And then
that's not really high.
Oh, it's not? Well, like, to start, that's not really high?
0.15 is sort of average.
Okay.
And, you know, higher than that, you're getting in the higher ranges. But look, the fact that you're lactating suggests that you're not getting enough thyroid hormone, because lactation, a common cause of it, can be low thyroid.
Okay.
Another thing to keep in mind is that there can be other endocrine problems, like prolactin secreting tumors, the pituitary, things like that. So make sure your doctor checks those things out, too.
Are you on
any other medication?
Besides
the thyroid?
Okay. I've been to endocrinologist, family doctor. Yeah. They even did like a CT just to make sure that there was no, like, head problem.
That's good. Well, they look for a prolactin tumor in the thyroid, but in the pituitary gland. But the deal is, the fact that you're lactating suggests you're probably not on enough thyroid hormone. So talk to the endocrinologist about that, okay?
Okay. And one more quick question. If it does get, like, because I have, like, 10 pounds I'm, like, stressing about, like, to go back down to my normal size.
Yeah.
If the lactation goes away, would, like, I get down to my normal size?
It's hard to say, but definitely focus. Don't look for the thyroid medicine to solve those kinds of problems. I would focus on your diet and exercise, that sort of stuff. Here's a quick Jay Hernandez question from Nick. He's 19. Nick?
Yeah, I have a question about a girlfriend that I was dating back a while ago, probably about 6 months ago, and I noticed that when we were having sex, she was turned over, like, in the doggy style position, and I could see her anus, and it was actually blue. And I was wondering, is that, like, something wrong with that?
Well, hold on a second, Nick. Jay's going to get into that in great detail. We're going to come back after the break and address the classic Jay Hernandez blue anus syndrome. The movie is Hostel. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The website is hostelfilm1word.com. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
LOVE is our number. 1-800-LOVE-191, that is our number. Jay Hernandez in here, and this call we're going to conclude was something that was specific for Jay. It's Nick, who's 19. Nick?
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
Good. So state that again for us.
My question was that when I was having sex with my girlfriend, she was in the doggy style position, and I could see her anus, and it was actually blue, and I've never seen that before, so I was wondering if that was normal.
Is she? How long was she your girlfriend?
Not very long, honestly. We weren't really actually dating. We were just kind of, we lived across and away from each other.
Friends with benefits. Did she have hemorrhoids? Because you can have blue veins that stick out that are hemorrhoids.
I think it was just like the whole color, actually, of the whole anus was just blue. I didn't.
Was it like a gray? Like she was a dark colored skin?
Yeah. What was the skin color?
She was white. She's like really white.
And a blue anus.
You never heard of anything like that before?
I've never heard of the blue anus. Black Angus.
And blue angels and all kinds of things, but not a blue anus. Nick, I don't know of anything other than hemorrhoids that would be of significance that would do that. That's just sort of her coloration. I wonder if she knows that she's got that special ability.
It's probably, very unique. She should probably show it off.
Probably take a picture of it.
Yeah. It's not like a cobalt blue or anything, is it? Right? It's just sort of a gray
blue. Is it baby
blue
or sky blue? What is it?
Probably a little grayish blue, maybe.
Gray, the gray.
Oh, the gray blue. Yeah.
So that's kind of not normalish.
It's a nice shade.
Let's give you another softball, Jay. This is Tito 18.
Oh, hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I just had a question for Jay. First, I just wanted to say I saw Hostel last weekend, and it was awesome, man.
Sweet. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, dude, it was so tight. And I thought the thing that made it best was just how, like, you got, like, you capped.
Don't give it away.
Don't give everything away.
I won't give it away. But
those moments are great when you're watching it.
The question I had was, it was that one scene with the eyeball. I was just wondering how they simulated that because it looked really disgusting and real.
It was K&B did it. And
what's that? What's K&B?
It's a special effects group. Uh-huh. And they, they actually had like a prosthetic eye that they put on her. And then we did the old snippage. And then it's, became the eyegasm, as people now refer to it.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, this is Johnny, 24.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Drew? What's up, Jay?
How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Hey, I had a question for Drew. I was calling about getting circumcised, and I'm 24.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how they do that, because that's really tripping me out, because a lot of people told me like a million different ways that they do it.
What have you heard?
Well, I heard that they get like an ice cream scoop looking like instrument, and they just put your penis in it, and they just, just chop.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple deal.
They don't numb you or nothing?
Oh, you can be asleep, and you will be quite out of it for this. And you're kind of in a fair amount of discomfort for about 2 weeks, but it's not that big a deal. I mean, when you're in it, you're not going to like it. But it's something that there are health reasons to do it. I'll say that there's lower incidence of herpes, lower incidence of wart virus, lower incidence of yeast infection, that sort of thing, that no incidences of penile cancer in circumcised men, and a lot less hassle to take care of. Things like one of the reasons that men often get a circumcision is the foreskin can kind of start to narrow around the head of the penis and can tear. And so if you're inclined to do it, it's fine.
Yeah, because sometimes it hurts too. Like when you're having sex,
It kind of tears and pulls and rips and stuff. And that's a good reason to go ahead and get it done. Don't let people freak out. It's obviously
Can they just like numb it. And now, because I don't ever want to sleep, though.
Well, talk to your urologist about that. There's plenty of things can be done. Obviously, they're not going around cutting people's prepuce out. You know,
will it take an inch off?
What do they think we do? Caitlin, 18.
Hi.
Hey, what's up there? You're on with Jay Hernandez from Hostel.
Hello.
Hi.
Definitely haven't seen that movie. It's too scary.
You will.
For me.
Too scary for you, huh?
Yeah.
What about your boyfriend?
Huh?
What about your boyfriend?
Oh, he loves that.
There you go.
I was wondering, is it normal for a girl or even a guy? My boyfriend and I are really into rough sex, and I was wondering, does it always have to do with the background, like a sexual abuse, if they are into that?
No, I mean, there's really nothing you can say about humans that you can say absolutely always is the case, but oftentimes, if you're sort of into S&M or you need high levels of stimulation, then suggest that there was a trauma in the background. It doesn't have to be physical abuse, but it can be sort of chaos, that sort of thing. Was your upbringing normal?
No, I did have an abusive father, but you I was wondering about my boyfriend also. For me, too, but it wasn't that bad. I mean,
well, people have, here's the thing about physical abuse is people that maintain massive, massive levels of denial about that. It's a normal reaction when the children get when they're being physically abused. The first thing they do is believe, as a way of sort of overcoming the immense powerlessness they feel, they believe that they caused this situation. Mm-hmm. I caused this because I'm a bad person. I deserve it. And this wonderful, bigger-than-life other person, this big grown-up, is perfect and knows what I need. He's delivering to me the discipline I need because I'm bad. And that person also goes into the world thinking, I need that bad stuff to happen to me. And just as I've said earlier tonight, they attract all that stuff. And they feel crappy all the time. And they feel like they're worth all the abuse they get. And they're also constantly on the alert and in control environment and bring these things down on themselves. You also tend, as you were talking about, Caitlin, find that people tend to go through towards high levels of stimulation in their sexual relationships and towards S&M and that sort of thing.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And so it's your boyfriend, if you were to ask him about physical abuse, it's very common for him. They go, no, absolutely not. How dare you? My dad was a disciplinarian. He knew exactly what we needed. He was a great father. Once in a while, he picked up a belt, but what's the big deal?
No, he grew up in a foster home, so I
Okay. Whoa. Caitlin, that's abuse. Yeah, that's profound. That's profound. So, yeah, you're just beginning to get into it with him. He's going to have lots of other stuff that he wants to experiment with, so to speak. Okay?
Okay.
Be prepared.
Bad? Warning.
Huh?
Warning?
Just say yes, warning. Yes. People that have such severe trauma and abuse in their family systems that they end up in foster care have difficulties in relationships. Now, not catastrophic necessarily, but it can be a difficult ride. So be careful, all right?
Oh, yeah. It's been difficult, but it's been better now.
All right. Hang in there.
Thanks.
Bye. Here is Rob 26 for Jay Hernandez.
Hi.
What's up, Rob?
Hi, how you doing? Question is, how was it working with Eli Roth?
Eli?
Yeah,
it was cool, man. You know, he's, I don't know, you know, a lot of people have seen him now.
He was your director, right?
Yeah, he's the director of Hostel. He's really, really insane. He's kind of very eccentric, and he's got a lot of energy. But, this film came from his mind, you know, so it kind of shows you the type of guy he is.
He wrote it?
Yeah, he wrote it.
No.
He wrote, directed, produced. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
You're familiar with Cabin Fever, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there was a guy, you know the guy on the bike that was talking about the party guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't happen to play in Hostel, did he?
No.
Oh, okay, because the guy kind of tripped me out, like the clerk that was in the front with the bad accent.
Oh, you know what? You think it's a bad accent, but that's totally the way the guy talks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
The guy was amazing.
Yeah, I
he was
that
really
was
funny.
Him, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a different guy.
Okay, cool.
He's actually Czech, you know? He speaks Czech and Slovak. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
This now is Tiffany 25. Tiffany.
Yeah, I had a question. I was trying to find out, I know this sounds very weird, but in my dreams, I tend to, like, I'll be me, I'm a female, but then when I go towards another woman, I become a man, and I'm actually with a woman. Like, in my dreams, I'm actually a man with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I was with girls.
Ooh, but I'm married, what do you mean
now,
younger?
From about 11 years old till...
Okay, now again, 11-year-olds don't have explicit sexual impulses, so that means somebody sexually abused you.
I don't remember much of my childhood. I've actually blanked out a lot of my childhood.
All right, so this is who knows what we're talking about here. Some heavy stuff went on, and then you had... Now, did you act out on other kids at 11, or did other kids act out on you?
You know what? It was me and one of my girlfriends.
Yeah, but was this her idea to be sexual, or was this your idea?
I think it was kind of mutual.
Well, 11-year-olds don't normally have those sorts of impulses. One is usually sort of a victimizer, and one's kind of a victim. And I suspect, given the fact that you don't have any recollections of your childhood, that you might more likely have been the victimizer, the one that sort of acted out on the child. I'm not saying that's not a word to be used in a moralistic sense, but that's how kids that were traumatized and sexually abused behave prematurely.
Right. But does that...
I can't hear Tiffany. Anderson, these phones are just awful on this end.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do.
I know. What were you saying, Tiffany?
What I was really wondering was, I love my husband, I love my family, and I love being with them, but part of me wonders, does the desire in my dreams, is that trying to tell me that maybe I desire to still be with girls?
It just expresses your confusion. The boundarylessness that you feel about your sexuality, where you're sort of morphing back and forth being a man and a woman, and you're with women, and that's all that boundarylessness of having difficulty and confusion around sexual identity. Now, it sounds as though you're doing okay right now and you're in a stable relationship, but that those dreams are expressions of a lot of the deeper stuff that's kind of floating, flying around in you. And that's the trauma stuff.
Got it.
Okay, and it may never be a big deal to you if you're able to maintain stable relationships and be happy in your relationships, that's fine. But if things are getting unstable, if you're thinking about acting out, if you're using a lot of drugs and alcohol or feeling depressed, why don't you get a little treatment on that, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Again, I can't hear her. All right.
I'll say
good.
Okay for her.
Jay Hernandez says okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank She's
you.
Good.
Okay. Jay Hernandez is in the new movie Hostel. It's killing in the box office, and we've had a lot of people call in tonight and express their
experience.
Enthusiasm. Yeah, it's hostelfilm.com, one word. You'll see him this summer in Oliver Stone's new film, World Trade Center, across from a nickel. Man, we are having all kinds of lovely technical problems tonight. We're getting you hear that?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
We're getting
I think I'm deaf.
We're going to break. Don't worry. That's the satellite bleeps in on us once in a while. Opposite Nicolas Cage in the Oliver Stone film World Trade Center. You've seen him in Crazy Beautiful across from Kirsten Dunst. And he and I are neighbors, and we're going to be buddies from now on. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Hernandez, Dr. Drew, be right back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, Jay Hernandez. Let's take a call from Norway, Jay. How about
Norway.
That?
Norway.
Ingrid, 21.
Hello. How are
you really? Hi, Ingrid. Good morning. You're in Norway. It's morning there, right?
Yes, it's morning, but it doesn't look like morning because the sun is not yet up.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you doing up?
It's morning.
Well, in Norway, the days are very short, right?
4 a.m.
Towards the north. No, it's probably like 7 o'clock, right?
It's almost 9 o'clock.
But the days are very short up there in the way north. You
That's
know?
True, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So how's life?
Oh, it is very nice. So we had a wonderful Christmas, and just sitting here and thinking I should call and say hello.
Well, it's very kind of you. We have a movie star in the studio with us tonight. His name is Jay Hernandez. He's in a movie called Hostel. Will it be called Hostel in Europe?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Keep your eye out for it. People like it here.
It's a very, very scary one.
Yes. How do you know about that?
It's not coming here until March, I think.
But how do you know about it already?
Because there are posters for it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
I know it's going to make it out there. I thought it was going to be about a month.
No.
No.
Hey, Ingrid, are you ever...
We have it in March. It's surprising it's not in summer.
Are you ever in Los Angeles?
Sorry?
Are you ever in Los Angeles?
We hope to
come out in June, we think.
Well, we're doing a thing where we're trying to get listeners. I'm trying to bring listeners up here to be on this show with me. And, you know, what Jay's doing tonight, we're going to put a few listeners on. And you'd be a perfect listener for Listener Loveline if you happen to be in Los Angeles. So I want you to write this number down. I hope, do you have the address here? The 5901. Write this down, Ingrid.
Okay.
5901 Venice Boulevard. And you want to say, attention, producer Ann, Loveline. 5901 Venice Boulevard, V-E-N-I-C-E, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And write in and say you want to be on Listener Loveline and you're Ingrid from Norway. And I don't want to get 50 Ingrid from Norway. You know, there's got to be a way that you, Ingrid, show me a picture or something so you can prove you're in Norway. And how are you going to do that?
I think the fact that she's from Norway, you really want her in here, dude.
Well, you know, I know how I know.
She's
I know
probably
how,
beautiful.
And
you
by
know.
The way, I know how I know. Now I know how I will realize it is from Norway when the postmark is in Norway. I mean, it's right. Postmark Norway. That'll be Ingrid.
There you go.
That'd be the special mark you see.
That's right. So write into us, and we'll get you up here maybe as one of the listener love lines, okay?
Wonderful.
Okay, you're good otherwise, though, right?
Yes.
No
the
questions?
Only thing is, though, everyone. Our 3-year-old is, it's because it is so dark now, she is very depressed, actually. We don't really know what to do. We've been giving her vitamin C.
How do you know she's depressed? It's hard to tell
because
a 3-year-old.
Normal, she runs around and, you know, yells and screams.
So,
like,
you know, Ingrid, why don't you have, listen, 3-year-olds don't get depressed.
Yeah.
They can have a reaction to the short days that certainly we all as humans can react to. I'm sure you're well aware. But if she's having a change in her activity level, take her to see a doctor. Make sure something's not going on medically, infection, God knows what. Don't assume that it's a depression. If there's a change in a child's appetite pattern, sleep pattern, eating, activity level, please get that check out. And when you write me the letter about Listener Loveline, let me know what you find out with the child, okay? This is Karen, 24. You're on with Jay Hernandez.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. This question may seem kind of silly or just unnecessary to ask, but I'm really very curious because every time if I'm about to have sex with a guy or something like that, and I get very self-conscious not knowing if I was raised with all guys, I don't know what they think about pubic hair and if it's a big turnoff, I'm scared to death of waxing. So I just don't know what the general consensus is among men.
I think generally, the 70s Bush is not in vogue right now.
Yeah, there's a difference between 70s Bush and there's a lot in between that and
nothing.
Wax.
But well, I don't think you have to be extreme about it, you know.
Jay is advocating grooming.
Just keeping things tidy, maybe. I don't know.
All right, simple enough. Is that kind of the general consensus among men then?
A clipper? How can you have been raised amongst men and not them having sort of heard their opinions? They aren't known to be, tend not to be quiet about this kind of thing. How is it that you were raised around men and haven't heard their opinions about this sort of thing? Men are not...
I have all brothers. I'm not going to talk to their little sister about, know, people they're out doing or what they prefer.
Right.
Kind of mum's the word around the house type of thing.
All right. Well, now you've heard it from a movie star, right?
That must be solid then. Thanks, guys.
All right, Karen. Take care. This is Claire, 22.
Hi. I was just wondering, just out of curiosity, would phone sex be considered sexual abuse if it was with the 13-year-old?
Was it an adult doing it with the 13-year-old?
Yeah.
I would sort of consider it unhealthy sexual contact.
It going to lead to, though?
Well, that's my point. Yeah. I don't come across people that have significant mental health issues because of having been talked to sexually at a young age. And 13, by the way, is... You're getting towards 14, 15. Some 13-year-olds are more developmentally ahead of the others, and it may not be that it's not appropriate, it's not good for you, but it may not be a big deal.
Okay, I was just wondering because
something happened to you. Something happened to you?
Yeah, it was me basically when I was around 13.
And what happened?
I was on internet chat rooms with lots of cyber sex, and I decided to have phone sex with one of them.
And did that affect you in some negative way?
Not that I know of.
So your relationships have been stable, you feel okay?
Well, I was very depressed. I was sort of depressed on and off throughout high school and puberty, but that I feel is normal. I'm adjusted now. Ever since I've been on Depo, my
depression has gone away.
Depo-Provera?
Yeah.
That improved your depression. That's interesting because it usually goes the other way in that medicine. Again, I asked, are you able to have stable relationships?
Not really, but I didn't really have much social contact as a kid anyways.
Why?
Parents didn't want me socializing with other kids that much. I wasn't, no sleepovers. I wasn't really popular. I was sort of the outcast type, but I have friends now. I have roommates, so... Huh. I wasn't really good at forming relationships, so I'm starting to get into dating.
And this was a single episode that happened when you were 13?
Yeah.
You know, in regards to the phone sex thing, I actually had a girl call me when I think it was like 7th grade or 8th grade, and, you know, she was developed for her age.
Yeah.
And she was talking a lot of crazy stuff to me, talking about being in the bathtub and all this weird stuff. At the time, I was, like, kind of freaked out by it, but, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have any lasting effect. I mean, I just kind of... wrote it off as this girl was pretty insane. That's it.
That, and then you may start having sort of preoccupations about the color of
anus. It didn't bother me at all.
Fingers in the rear end, things,
strange,
all the stuff that you seem to attract here, Jay. I mean, it may have something to do with it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? No.
Well, what's that, Claire? Something wrong with the guy because he was 30.
Yeah,
he's a pedophile, and he was looking for a victim, and he would have, God knows if you kept talking to him, would have found a way to go meet you and got, you avoided a problem.
I got a boyfriend, and then I stopped it with him, so.
How long did you do it with this guy for?
About a year and a half.
Oh, boy. Hmm. Well, that's a little different.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You said you did it one time.
Oh,
I thought maybe
you meant
one.
Other people.
I thought you meant maybe one 5-minute episode, but 18 months is, that's gonna affect you a little bit, particularly with a 30-year-old. And that is, at very minimum, being exploited by an adult, and the fact that you put yourself in that position suggests there was something going on, and the fact that you didn't sort of have judgment about it and boundaries with it and didn't tell your parents about it. Social outcast, depression, there's a little more going on here.
Yeah.
So if I were you, therapy would be a pretty smart idea, I suspect. But, you know, if you're able to have stable relationships, so much the better. Jay Hernandez with us tonight. The movie is Hostel. It killed at the box office this weekend. You can see him this summer in Oliver Stone's new film opposite Nicolas Cage, World Trade Center. I want to point out that later on, we've got Steve-O coming up next show. God help us. Hopefully he won't crap in the studio.
Hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
I haven't noticed that. And that's Steve-O sort of in a tame moment.
Yeah, I've seen him in his excited moments.
Yes,
when he gets pretty
excitable. I like that. We've got the cast of Laguna Beach coming up after that. Both of the Alexes, Alicia Cuthbert, Jenna Fisher from The Office, one of our favorite guests. Band She Wants Revenge, Joe Rogan, DJ AM, Danny Bonaducci. Got huge lineup next couple weeks. So please stay tuned. And in the meantime, Jay Hernandez and I will take a little break and be right back. Well, everybody, Jay Hernandez, go out and see Hostel tomorrow. Go see it this weekend. I'm enticed. I want to go see it. I really do.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cool film. And I appreciate you coming in. I hope you come back again when Oliver Stone's new film comes out.
I'll come back. I'll definitely come back.
That sounds like a great film.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I want to be invited to your big Hollywood parties in our neighborhood. If I see a party going on there, I'm not invited. I'd be very, very pissed off.
You drink?
A little bit. I mean, like socially.
Yeah.
I don't drink.
Not the way Anderson.
A glass of wine.
Not maybe. The way Anderson gets it. You know, Anderson he's drinking.
Right,
so I don't do that. So
you gotta drink water. You gotta take him down.
I drink water.
Yeah.
Anderson, you want to go to go to Jay's house?
Yeah, but I'll be drunk.
Yeah, dude, that's where
that's what he's looking for.
Yeah,
I'll drink enough for you, Drew.
All right, thank you. All right, tune in again for Steve-O later on. Alex and Alex from Laguna Beach, Alicia Cuthbert, Jenna Fisher. Big week coming up. Thank you, Jay, for coming in and. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Those of you listeners, please come back again tomorrow when I see you then. Until then, good night and stay well.
Bye-bye. I'm the king of butt sex, apparently.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.